Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento is often regarded as the underdog city in sports, but the tide has recently turned a little bit. In just the past year, both collegiate and professional sports in the capital city have defied odds with overdue success. But decades before, an underdog story catapulted to international level. The Arden Hills Swim and Tennis Club might not sound like a winning team, but they would go on to create an Olympic dynasty. In the new book, Victory in the Pool, historian and author Bill George details the story of a local swim club that led to the 1968 and the 1972 Olympic Games. And Bill joins us to discuss his new book. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Vicky.
You know, you were here not too long ago, back in March, and you were talking to us about a documentary on Rancho Cordova, which aired on KVIE, our local PBS station, detailing the city's history. Where did your love of just diving into Sacramento County history, where did it stem from?
I've always loved history, and I live here, so it was the obvious choice. We have a great and rich history, and I want to tell it.
How did you stumble upon the Arden Hills Swim Club?
Well, it's such a great story, and it's a story about people. It's a story about a coach named Sherm Shavor, who lived in Oakland, rose from poverty, went in the Army, came out, went to the YMCA here in Sacramento. That was his first swim job. Now, he always said he was a swimming coach who didn't know how to swim, and he really was not a technician or anything. He'd gone through the Army, been in charge of a recreation program, then came here. In that pool, he found some Japanese-American boys who had been in the camps during the war. They came out. They had learned to swim there a little bit, but he took those boys, an African-American kid and a couple of white kids, and he made his first great swim team out of it. That's what began the dynasty. He rose from there, from the YMCA, coaching these kids who had no training, to be the most famous, powerful, and influential Olympic coach in history. And there's no lie. He's unbelievable. And I'm just glad the story came out. Did he have his warts? Yeah, he had warts. Did everybody like him here? No, they didn't. He used to yell at people. He yelled at my mother-in-law.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She would go swimming there recreationally. He'd turn that faucet off. You're wasting hot water. So since I've written the book and it's come out, I've gotten more emails from people. It's almost like a badge of honor now that Sherm yelled at him. So it's a great story, though. And the people, like I said, this is not about people with their heads underwater, right? Swimming, that's what people think of. These are real characters. Takaseri was the first great swimmer, the Japanese-American boy. I tracked him down. He's still with us, thank God. He told me all the stories of how Sherm motivated him. He'd yell at him, get in the pool. What are you doing? Trying to get a suntan? What are you guys doing? Work, 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 work. And, you know, that's how he motivated people. It was the constant workout method. And just unbelievable.
Yeah, I imagine the anecdotes are endless, and especially just the tip of the iceberg, especially following this book, because clearly he's touched so many lives, you know, in a comforting or an abrasive way,
right,
you know, as we're learning about him. So being successful in and of itself, you know, is great, and it takes work ethic, but you don't necessarily think it leads to the Olympics.
Right.
I mean, how did that happen?
Well, he said himself, you have to have the talent in the pool. But how did it happen? And there's talent in lots of pool. So one of his first great swimmers was a kid named Mike Burton. Mike Burton became the greatest long-distance swimmer in history. He redefined long-distance swimming. He won 3 Olympic gold medals. It's a freaky story. One day, he's riding on the handlebars of a friend's bike. They get blasted by a truck. He goes into surgery, 8 hours of surgery, gets out and basically can hardly walk. He'd been a good athlete, basketball, baseball, all that. Not so much baseball. There you go, Mike. That's for you. He always complained that he wasn't a good baseball player. But he had this work ethic in him. He came, went to Shavor, and Shavor didn't care what your strokes look like. He cared about one thing, guts. Do you have the guts to do it? Because swimming is brutal. People don't realize the pain involved. And a guy like Mike Burton went in that pool, even though he was from a poor neighborhood here in Sacramento. There already were established swimmers at Arden Hills, but he outworked everyone. He'd pick the guy at the top and he'd say, I'm going to beat him. And he went in the pool and worked and worked and worked. Shavor had studied what does it take to make a great distance athlete, either running, swimming, or whatever. He'd work with Japanese. He'd studied Roger Bannister, the first guy to break the 4-minute mile, his techniques. And he came up with this whole program he called over distancing, which is a polite word for torture.
torture. You know, I think it's also important to take in the context of the time that we're talking about, the period in American history, right? Because these Olympic wins, they happened during the 1960s and the 1970s. I mean, this was an intense time. You had the civil rights movement. You also had Cold War tensions. You know, where does that fit into this team that went and was successful on an international level?
Right. So Shavor and the swimmers drive the narrative, but I do touch on all of those things because those are things that they encountered. So, yes, the war in Vietnam was going on, also the Cold War. The Olympics at that time were a test of which society is better, communism or capitalism, America or Russia. There was a tremendous amount of pressure on the kids to perform, and the swimming team especially. They would write, success in the Olympics in 68 depends on how well the American swimmers do. They didn't have to just win. They had to win overwhelmingly and bring home the gold, or the Russians were going to beat them. So Shavor was aware of that. It was so crazy. So Debbie Meyer, one of the great names in swimming.
Three-time Olympic medalist.
Three-time Olympic medalist. She comes in, and she, in 67, in 3 years, she'd come to Sacramento in 64. In just 3 years, she became the top female swimmer in the world. She was so good that TASS named her Athlete of the Year, the Russian news agency TASS. This stuff didn't happen. And there were newspaper articles written that this could be a real breakthrough in East-West relations because Debbie Meyer, who everybody loved, they admit, and even the Russians love her. So it was very interesting. So all kinds of things were going on.
What came of the Arden Hill Swim Club? I mean, these are major successes decades ago, and yeah, you don't really hear about it so much now.
It's still there, but Sherm Shavor sold out as he got older, and it's been taken over. It's still there, and they mainly do a lot of weddings and stuff. I don't think they have a swim team now.
Hmm. You know, what I love, I keep going back to how your mother-in-law has an anecdote about Sherm Shavor, which really hits home how Sacramento is, you know, in this one sense, a very small town,
right,
a small community. But you're talking about how this, well, also a small town, really reached an international stage and has a place in American and Olympic history.
Oh, it's a huge place, yeah, a huge place, and it shouldn't be forgotten.
I love that juxtaposition.
Yes, and it was neighborhood kids like other swim clubs. Santa Clara nearby us was a big power, but they brought in kids from around the country. That didn't happen much. It happened a little bit here, but Sue Peterson, one of the first great female swimmers, at age 10, she was famous in Sacramento. Age 10, she was setting records. And the headlines would say, Sue wins 100-yard race. It wasn't even Sue Peterson. Well, then along came Debbie Meyer, and all of a sudden, Sue had a rival, and Shavor said, I had the best rivalry going. So the two of them would go at it and battle. Debbie moved here when her dad was transferred to Campbell Soup. She came from Haddonfield, New Jersey. But she hadn't been swimming that much, just recreation. And just like Mike Burton, she got in the pool and saw all these kids churning away. And boy, she almost quit. At first, she went home and told her mom, I can't do this. These kids are crazy. I can't swim like this. But she got that fire in the belly, and she turned out there, and whoom, did she go. At the height of her success, as you mentioned, the three gold medals in 68, she was probably the most famous person in the world, certainly most famous female swimmer in the world. These were the first time in 68 that the Olympics were broadcast in color globally. These kids were huge celebrities. Think about it. There weren't 100 stations with every game known to man on. I grew up in Chicago. I remember watching these. I knew who all these guys were, especially Debbie. And to see what they did and under the circumstances, it's amazing. Plus, they're great people.
Is she still around?
She's still around. She lives
as well as Mark Spitz and Mike Burton?
Spitz and Burton. Spitz lives in L.A. and Burton lives in Colorado, but he gets here once in a while. But the Mark Spitz story is another one. People are all kind of confused about Mark Spitz. First of all, yes, he learned to swim here competitively under Sherm Shavor. When he was, I think, 12, they moved. The story was that he was moving to Santa Clara to get better coaching. That's demonstrably not true. I show that in the book. He moved because his dad got a job. He went to Santa Clara when he was 18. He was the preeminent swimmer in the world. He'd set all kinds of world records. He bombed the 68 Olympics. Two gold, two silver, doesn't sound like bombing, but far under expectations and nothing in an individual event, all relays. Spitz ended up getting in a big argument, and his father, who was very domineering with the coach at Santa Clara, George Haynes. So within time, a year or so, they moved really back to Arden Hills. Spitz went to Indiana, where he had a coach. Spitz was lucky to have great coaches, but Shavor is the one who stayed with him, and Shavor is the one who made it possible for Mark Spitz to go to Munich and win the 7 gold medals. It would not have happened without Shim Shavor. 7. And the agony that he went through that week, Spitz, mentally, is chronicled in my book. And the feat that Shim Shavor pulled off by getting into Mark's heads. And I'll tell you one quick story. They're out to dinner with Sports Illustrated reporters. Spitz wasn't doing much media, but he had a favorite Sports Illustrated reporter. So Sherm, Spitz, and reporter went out to dinner. And Spitz could be a hypochondriac. And he's like, you know, Sherm, I'm not feeling well. You know, those pills, this would always happen with him coming up to big meets. He'd start to make all these kind of excuses why he couldn't perform. He said, I don't know. I'm feeling dizzy. And without missing a beat, Shavor says, dizzier. Right there, he set the shot. And suddenly Spitz, you know, realized, he was in front of the reporter, that he better shape up and go. So. But Shavor was with him every step of the way through that, even though he was still also coaching the U.S. Olympic swim team at the same 72 Munich Olympics. And then, of course, we had the really tragic ending to that. So Mark Spitz is Jewish. Mark Spitz was in the middle of that. Shim Shavor invented ways to keep Spitz out of the limelight, out of notice while the massacre was going on. Mm-hmm. It was tragic. But they were really worried that Spitz was going to be a target of the assassins.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for just doing all the work, the heavy lift, and just a remarkable story. Victory in the Pool is a new book from Bill George, an author and historian in Sacramento. And he's also going to be having an event May 13th, this Saturday, at the Sacramento Central Library. We have more information on our Insight page if you want to see Bill in the flesh. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.